KSHSEE monitoring. Oh, wow. You guys are still alive. K8BCW, good morning, Josh.
Yeah, have you heard from Chris in a while?
No, I shot him a text, I think, last weekend, and he responded to that, but I haven't heard him on the air at all, so I'm not sure what his situation is.
Okay, I thought maybe it was just my timing being on the radio and not missing him every time, but I haven't heard him on the UP net either. So, yeah, I texted him. I haven't heard back yet. His son texted me the other day real quick, just to check to see if we were having any problems with water and flooding. And that was it. I forgot. I got to the shop, got busy. I forgot to text him back and ask him about his dad because I haven't heard. Of course, during the middle of the day when I would call him. I think I'm going to call him today at the dealer. A little concerned.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. Like I said, he did send me a text back after I emailed you guys about the CCE CSPO, you know, information I was sharing with you guys on email. But tell him I said hello myself and get his butt back on the air so we know that he's okay.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. I was hoping to, I keyed up on the stud. I was hoping to hear him on there. I tried to catch him on his way to work, but I don't know. I thought maybe even with the storms and stuff coming through, because I know the other day I unplugged all mine because we had lightning flashing like crazy, so I disconnected everything. I wondered if maybe he just had all his equipment unplugged and just keep it safe.
Or he's just busy with other stuff, you know, could be. So did you do okay with all the flooding? Are you good at your location?
Yeah, we had a little bit north of me crossing the road. They blocked it off, but I think it looks like the roadblock's gone. No, I didn't look this morning when it was off. But, we haven't had any problem. I mean, we're where we're located. It would have to be really bad. Everybody around us would be devastated before it got to us. It would be too late. So we're very fortunate in that aspect.
Yeah, I'm pretty high where I am, but we also have a lot of natural springs, you know, in the immediate area. And so the ground is naturally pretty wet around here, even though we're on a hill and it's sloped. And a few of my neighbors have had significant water in their basements because of it. The ground is just saturated. So I had a little bit of seepage in one spot, and thankfully it wasn't a big deal. But I've got another neighbor that's just down the hill from me, and, you know, she had inches of water across her entire finished basement, and it's just a mess that she's cleaning up. I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I saw a photo last night of the house in Black Lake that just, I mean, it was, had to be a foot deep, if not more. It's just horrible. And there's a lot of that. A lot of damage. I don't know, down by Gaylord, I don't know, I haven't heard anybody say anything down there during the week, but I think the worst of it was north. But yeah, my nephew was up early this week and he went back down, he dropped his truck off and picked it up while I worked on it. I mean, it's a 2-hour drive and he was maybe 4 hours getting home, I think. He was driving too thick into the water on the freeway in spots, down south of us. So it was pretty bad. They had a lot of tornado warnings and stuff down there. And, their soil is, it doesn't absorb water. I mean, you could drop a seed on it and it would start to grow. It's pretty good soil, but it also floods a lot. Yeah, he said it's clearing out down there, but yeah, this has been a pretty interesting couple of weeks.
spring has definitely turned into the worst season. Seems to get worse and worse every year, although I should check that and say I think the ice storm last year was worse, but there's a lot of people out there that have it pretty bad right now. So you must be mobile. You're getting a little scratchy on me.
Yeah, it's on low power, too. I turned it up. Is that a little better?
Yep, that's the trick right there.
Yeah, anytime, the great radio, I wish every time you turned it on, it would stay wherever you adjusted the power, but when I programmed it, whatever I set the power at, anytime you change the channel, it goes right back to it, so I keep forgetting that.
Oh, man, that's a terrible feature.
That's all right. This channel on the radio typically stays on this frequency anyways, so I use the other one for my GMRS and scanning, so it's the same one that I put in my my base station. I absolutely love it, too. I'm gonna end up, because the overhead console that holds my sunglasses, that broke. So I'm thinking about just detaching the face of the radio, stick it up there, and then I can, you know, put the radio somewhere where I can't even see it. So that'll be my mic and everything will be overhead. Like, that'll be really nice. When I get some free time, I think I'm going to do that, because it'll be out of the way and easier to see, too, because right now it's down on my left knee. It's kind of hard to see what's going on.
Yeah, I used to drive a Jeep, and I had it all built up and tricked out for overlanding, and having the radio up there right above the rearview mirror was the best spot to have a radio ever. I just really, really liked it. It was out of the way. You could glance up and see what was going on very quickly, and didn't get in the way of anything. It was perfect.
Yeah, and I think the big thing for me, sun glare, because where it's at down there, I mean, the sun's always shining in, there's light, I can't really see it sometimes, no matter what kind of display I have on my radio that I've had. So that'll be nice, having that up there, because I'll be able to see it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that squared away and get it put back up there. So I figure if I'm not using it for my sunglasses, then I can't fix it, and it's like $300. $400 for the piece of plastic with the lights and everything in it to repair it. So I'm like, nope, I'll just pop that cover right off of there and shove my radio display in it.
Sounds like a good plan to me. That's awesome, man. I put a new radio in my 4Runner, and those Toyota 4Runners and Tacomas have almost no surplus space or dashboard real estate or anywhere to mount a radio. And the new radio that I have has a detachable faceplate, and just have it mounted up right on one of the vents, and everything else is under the driver's seat. And it's nice, clean install, and you only have what you need right in front of you, and it's a perfect setup. So, yeah, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah, and I figured when I bought this radio, I ordered all the accessory kit, the extra cable to attach the face, all that stuff, because I'm like, you know what? I like the radio. I'm going to use it, because, I mean, even the GMRS stuff, I can do it from this with this antenna. It still works fairly well. So instead of having multiple radios, I can just keep this one in here, and it does everything I need it to. So, yeah, I ordered all the accessories and stuff for it, and yeah, pretty excited about having it in there. It'll be nice. I don't have to worry about kicking it when it's raining. Have it open the door and have it, you know, blowing in on the radio and everything else. So, yeah, I'm, now that it's warming up out and I can work outside the house, because my garage is full of woodworking stuff, so it will not be going in there. And I don't want to do it at the shop, because that draws attention and people bother you. So, just going to do it outside at home.
Yeah, one radio to rule them all. Yeah, I had a buddy of mine do the Mars mod on my Icon 5100 that I put in my truck, and, you know, same thing. I can get all the GMRS stuff and some of the other, like, MERS and other frequencies. So, yeah, it's what I need, and it works great. So I'm glad you found a similar solution for you.
Yep, I like to keep it simple. I don't need to complicate life. I think the older I get, I look back at my granddad, and, you know, they didn't have much, didn't do much. Like, man, you know, we have all these things, but life would be so much easier if we just kept it simple. So if I can do one and done, that's what I'm doing. I don't have the energy like I used to for all the extra activity.
Yeah, wait till you get to be mine and Chris's age.
I mean, I do want to live to be like 120 so that my daughter, I can repay her for all these years of the torture that she's giving me and the attitude. I can just give it right back knowingly. So that's kind of my plan right now. I won't be doing much, but she'll be cleaning out, you know, my britches and everything else for me. Payback.
Sad truth of the world is that it doesn't take a lot of energy to be a pain in the ass.
That is true. I try not to be. I'm the guy that I know some people can really just. I have a lot of people in my life that can do that. I'll just say it that way. I try not to. I'm real short with them. Because I just don't want to deal with it and then walk away. I could be the pain, and I choose not to. It's just too much energy. I don't want to do it and create another problem for myself, so I've learned as the older I get, I just shut the door and walk away. I don't need to hear it. Don't care.
Yeah, exactly. That and unapologetically and without needing to make an excuse just to say, I'm not doing that, and walk away.
Yep, I just want my life to be peaceful. It's hard to do sometimes. I mean, I think that because for me it's really weird because with all this technology, there's always something. You know, there's always, it's instant gratification, there's always something to see or do, and even with vehicles, I mean, we never used to drive like we do now, because cars weren't built like they are now. Fuel economy was terrible, of course fuel prices were lower, but I grew up with a bicycle in the outdoors, and we had a rotary dial phone on the wall when I was a kid. The cell phones came out, you know, the last couple years I was in high school. We didn't have computers at home until the last couple years of high school. Like, all that started happening, and I didn't need it then. You know, and I go to work every day, have to have it. You know, paying bills, gotta have it. And I like to go home and just lock myself in my garage and pretend like that stuff doesn't exist sometimes.
Yeah, for sure, man. Society has evolved in that direction, and some of it's good, but most of it's not. You know, and then being in a technical sales position, working for a big corporation, you are hyper-connected to everything out of necessity. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm looking forward to retirement pretty soon so I can leave a lot of that stuff behind. I was just thinking about that the other day, is what kind of phone can I use? And still get by when I don't have to do all the business with it, you know. Computers and, you know, all of that stuff that I rely on every single day, day in, day out, I'm not going to need as much of it anymore, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
KF8FTE. Yeah, I mean... Everything's transformed to the place where I go to work. I mean, we have to use paper catalogs, or, you know, 10 different cars use the same part, you know, you knew what it was. You'd go into the parts store, the guy'd be like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. He'd just get up off the stool and go grab it. He didn't need to look it up. He knew. Yet now, exact same vehicle, oh, there's 10 different options. And it's the production code you need, or this or that, or, you know, and you're, I find myself sitting there doing more research sometimes to figure out what part I need to make sure I get the right one. And then, you know, the aftermarket, that gets confusing, you know, because they don't know. I mean, it's just, you are tied to using something on the internet somewhere in front of a computer to even find out. It's rare to make the phone call to figure it out anymore.
Yeah, go back to a flip phone and a 92 F-150.
With a stick shift. Oh, yeah. I told my wife, I think this year I'm going to put some money away, and the guy that I worked with, that technical assistance, he was down in Texas. I'm just going to have him find me a good old vehicle that's clean. I'm just going to drive down there, pick it up, and bring it home.
A manual transmission, you mean a Gen Z anti-theft device?
Indeed. I used to love mine. I started with a Chevette, moved up to, I had two SM pickups. Both had 2.8 liter V6, leaked oil all over, but they started and ran every time. And then I had they both had a 5-speed stick. And, I mean, little truck, super comfortable seat, lots of space for radios, man. I remember having a CD in it. Like, there was just options. And back then, of course, we didn't have the CD players, so you had to get the portable CD player, put some Velcro on it, put yourself a metal bracket down there and stick it to it, because you wanted to take it inside when you were done. Got all your CDs and your visor, and you could drive around and plug the old tape adapter into the cassette deck and cruise around jamming out, hoping it didn't skip on you. The good old days.
K8BCW. Well, you know why my generation, Gen X, is always pissed off all the time, don't you?
Although there's probably a lot of reasons, but what is the specific reason?
Okay, here it is. I'll lay it out for you. First, we bought all of our music on vinyl, and then we had to buy it all on cassette. And then CDs came out, and we had to buy it all on CD again. And then MP3s came out, and we either had to rip all of that music down, taking hours and hours and hours to make MP3s, or we had to buy our MP3s. And now, we need a frickin' subscription for it every month.
And I actually started buying vinyl again because I have an old console from the mid-60s that my dad purchased. Fixed that up and got it working. So, yeah, we're going full circle here, aren't we?
Ooh, a hi-fi system.
I got to tell you, though, there's nothing like sitting at home with the crackle of a record. There's just something about that audio. I don't mind the clicking and snapping from a good old vinyl record. And I've got they're doing them now. You get some new ones, but I've purchased a lot of, you know, originals from way back. And man, there's just nothing like that. I can sit in my easy chair, just have that going. You know, I can stack three or four records on there and just let it automatically changes them and just sit there and listen to it. I love it.
Well, if you talk to an audiophile, they'll tell you it's technical. Very much like FM analog radio versus digital. The digital sounds a lot cleaner. It's a lot clearer, but it doesn't have the dynamic range. There's a lot more compression. And if you look at the sine wave that is created by the audio signal, an analog signal will have curves to it. It's a lot smoother. whereas digital is blocky with sharp edges on the highs and the lows. And they say that the way that your ear hears that and interprets it through your nerves and goes to your brain, the way that's processed is much, much different. And some people are very sensitive to it, while others could care less. So, yeah, big differences there.
Yep, I can see that. That makes sense. And, I don't need a subscription for my any of my records. I can just pop them out, and if I don't have power, I can fire the generator up. Worst case, plug in my power supply and just let them spin. And, nobody knows what I'm listening to. Unless my cell phone's on, then it's recording, so, and tracking, So, I mean, you just shut the cell phone off, and I think we're going to start doing one day a week where we just, cell phone's off, they stay in a room, and we just spend time together as a family.
Yeah, that's nice, man. Good move, and you should do that. Well, hey, man, I'm glad I caught you this morning. I'm going to run, but if you do catch up with Chris, tell him that I'm thinking of him, and I hope he's doing well, and I'd like to chat with him one of these days again. I'll let you go, Josh, and have a good day and a great weekend. K8. K8, BCW.
All right, Bentley, it was good talking to you, and I'm getting to my destination, so timing's perfect. Yep, I will, I monitor pretty much all day long to see if he comes on, and I'm going to try to get a hold of him today via phone, so I will, I'll find out what's going on, and I will talk to you down on the airwaves. KF8, FTE, clear.
BYS Mobile, 127 northbound.
I think I heard a noise. ACMH Mobile.
Morning, Drake. Yeah, I know. Somebody keyed up the repeater as I was coming out of the driveway, so I couldn't get to the mic. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Everything is super steamy. It's supposed to be 70 degrees today, and I am a happy camper about that.
Let's hope. I know. Got into the truck and turned on the heated seat just to warm it up a little bit.
I don't have a heated seat in my work vehicle anymore. The last van I had a heated seat and heated steering wheel, and that was nice. Now I don't get any of that. It's got a base model, but it works. At least I have all-wheel drive. So. Headed back to Piasi. And today we're hoping to have a good sizable chunk of the battle we've been battling done today. Now we actually fixed the problem, and now we just got to do the boring data entry part.
Gotcha. Oh, it doesn't look like the chief's in today, so I just drove down the station for nothing, but that's okay. Maybe I'll go back and have coffee with the maintenance guy. See how the basement's looking.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Actually, yesterday I went over to help out. I think you probably knew Ken NAWL. He passed back in December, and his wife asked me to help out clear out the ham radio gear and everything, and, you know, do whatever I want to do with it, and sell it if I need to or whatever. And there was some stuff that I already had, and Joe didn't, so I sent it off to him to play with, and we installed a STM-300 in his car yesterday. So Joe's going to have a new radio to play around with for a little bit.
LPL, that rings a bell to me.
LUL, Lima Uniform Lima.
Ah, okay, yeah. There's a lot of these passing on I haven't even heard of. So, yeah. Well, I got to get in here, dude, and we'll talk to you later. So we will talk to you later, Greg. Take me easy on you.
Catch you later, Toby. I need you, man.
Thanks again.
Hey, it's that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can't do that, that's fine. But if you can, sweet.
Do what now?
NXM. Hi, Drake.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Well, it's a mixed bag. I'm doing good because the sun's out, but I'm working, so, you know, it lowers it slightly, but not too much.
Are you driving somewhere?
Yeah, I'm headed to Petoskey today.
She likes talking on the radio.
Oh, that's good. How's that radio working out for you?
She wants to get a license someday, but yeah, so far so good. I'm surprised that I like it.
I feel like Yaesu's got a lot of hit and miss products. Like, they've got a couple products that hit pretty good, and then they make a whole bunch that end up turning out to be bums. They get something right every once in a while, and that was a radio they did really well. You know, got that internal recording feature and the audio quality on it's really good. As long as you have the internal beeps turned off for APRS, so while you record, you can have your APRS running, it won't beep, and it won't bleed into the recording. But yeah, it's a solid rig.
Yeah, I'm hearing a popping sound. It seems to be once per second. My other radio did do that, so I'm wondering what's causing it on this one. It's going tick, tick. And, no, the subband is not scanning or anything. It's got a nerve tick, I guess. But yeah, I mean, definitely hit and miss. I feel like a lot of the AC products, they like put a really nice display on it and then forgot about the rest of the radio. So this one, though, it seems to not be that way. All right, I'm pulling in to make a drop off here. So I'll be out for a second.
Yeah, real quick. That popping sound you're hearing is because you don't have an EPRS mute turned on, and it's opening the audio path for the subband whenever APRS is active, and it pops even when you have the volume turned down. So just turn on EPRS mute, and it won't do that anymore.
That's something the 400 didn't do. Okay, you back. NACN.
Thank you, Mitch. set up a tone for 100 and set it up for tone swap on that memory. And it won't transmit with a PL, but it will receive with one. Or no, it'll transmit and receive with a PL. But on just that memory, but the nice thing about that is that somebody, if somebody transmits with a 100 Hertz PL, you can use it kind of like a talk around. There's been talk of doing it. I've never ever seen anybody do it, but it's a thing.
Okay. Yeah, the other curious thing is, like, I don't have it on APRS now. I have it on where I left it, which is, I was listening to 124.2. So I think it does it whenever the APRS modem is on, if what you're saying is correct.
No, it should do it whenever the subband comes is active and you have the volume turned down. Or if something barely breaks the swell.
I'll send you a video later, because there's nothing happening on the subband. The volume is not all the way down. And I'm just listening to 2.6. It's the only thing that's active, and it's in there going tick, tick, tick.
Interesting. What did you do?
Wow. Maybe I should factory default it.
Might not be a bad plan. I also have the RT system software for that if you want it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I used to really like their stuff, and then they did me dirty a little while back with a license, and I was like, eh. I wanted to get mad, but then I'm like, well, they're kind of a software company at this point. Like, the cables are becoming a little bit more ubiquitous. And then I realized, man, it's got to be hard to survive as a software company when, like, Chirp's aim is to do everything. Which, by the way, I don't think I own a radio that Chirp won't program now. So, like, necessity for using the program for, like, what's the radio that I have? Probably my IC9280, my D-Star radio. Like, I have the RT system software for that. And would I use it to program it? I would prefer to, because D-Star is not C, but I could do it with Chirp. But in order to use the RT system software, I would need to spool up a VM, because my licensing snafu with RT systems was I bought it, and then literally like several months later, they were like, oh yeah, we released the version that works on Windows 11. And I'm like, cool, how can I get that? And they're like, you have to buy a new license. And I'm like, the one I've got is less than 3 months old. And they're like, sorry, buy it again. And I'm like, that's not how that's supposed to work. Anyway, that's the TLDR.
Love that. That's great customer support right there, man. Well, yeah, I gotta go through and reinstall all of my stuff in my Windows VM, but yeah, I've got it for the FTM 400, the 510, the 300, the 1, the FT5. I think I've got it for the VX7, and I don't know about the 6. Chirp support for the IC7100 is terrible. It only lets you modify the memories, nothing else. And you have to edit them live. Like, you don't read and then write the radio. No. You're actively, like, you're changing the memory live in the radio. And it's super finicky. And if you type something wrong and then press enter and the radio doesn't like it, you gotta factory default the radio.
That seems like it could be improved, but, yeah. Oh, there was another thing with Chirp, or with the RT systems that I was trying to, how did that go? Oh, yeah, so one of them, that was one where, like, they told me the only way to fix the problem was to upgrade, and I had to buy a new license for that, and it was, like, the same software. So I didn't want to do that. And then the other one, well, oh, yeah, the other one I couldn't activate. So I had, I think it may be for the 350. I have that software for the 350 radios, and I think the installer works, but I couldn't activate it once it was installed because their server, quote unquote, oh, it's an old server, it won't activate anymore, so you have to buy a new license. But I'm like, yo, the reason I bought a license was so I could use it, not so that I had to buy it again in a few years to continue using it again. And I think what I did was I exported the entire, like, registry tree from an old computer that it had worked on, and it kind of worked, but, like, it also needed to download updates, and updates on the update server were only available back to a certain point. So I had to find a second old laptop that had those .exe/v1 files or whatever that from the first few updates that I did, which amazingly somehow I had somewhere. And then I manually copied all the executable self-contained updates into the cache directory, and then as the program errored out on each one, I manually copied it back to the working directory until it installed everything it needed, and then it was happy, and then it kind of worked. So, like, but yeah, their solution, everything was like, oh, you got to buy your license again. And I'm like, anyway, all that stuff works with Chirp now, so it was great back in the day. It saved my life a bunch of times, so I'm happy, but, like, also at the same time, anyway. Yeah, I'll take a video next time you talk, and you can see what I'm seeing.
Alright. I'm just rolling up to, port here. Anyway. I got it. But it's... Oh. Calendar notification. Love that. So, last night, I stumbled upon a project called Image, which is kind of like a local hosted... our self-hosted version of Google Photos. And I'm going to spin that up in a Docker container on one of my Pis at home and then point it at my NAS and see how it works. And I'm going to see if I can try to route it through the tail scale so that way you can kind of play with it. I'll make you a user and you can see how you like it or not if you want to do your own thing for that. But the more I think about how modern cloud computing is going, the more I want to run all of my stuff locally and getting all of my stuff off of Google Photos, because they had that, what it was, 6-7 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago now. They had, you could get Google Photos and save all of your photos, unlimited storage for free, and then like 6 years later they were like, like, you gotta pay now. And then I suddenly was like, I don't have any space left on Google Drive. So I had to pay for the bigger, you know, plan to, you know, keep all my stuff. And now I'm out of storage again, and I don't really want to pay more, so I'm just going to pull everything off of there and drop down to the 10 gigabyte Google Drive plan and just do everything locally.
Yeah, so the de-Googling subreddit, I think it's r/de-Google, is good for stuff like what you're talking about. But there's a couple self-hosting communities, and also if you Google for the phrase awesome self-hosted, there's a whole GitHub repo that's maintained by the community of, like, alternatives to cloud resources for things that you would normally, like, do on a cloud, where you can either spin it up in a VPS or your own home lab or whatever. And then thereby you get rid of the monthly fee because you're using something that is open source. And they're rated in compatibility matrices. Like, if you want a self-hosted photo album that, like, works with your phone and phone apps and stuff, so that, like, sharing still works easily enough, you can still, like, save a photo from your phone to the cloud automatically and then text it to somebody, and then if somebody grabs your phone or you drop in a puddle, like, it's still backed up somewhere and it's not on Google. So there's stuff like that. And that's a good repository to look at for solutions. I forget the one I was starting to look at, but it wasn't that one. And there was some feature of it that I wish existed but didn't yet, but it was being developed, so I didn't pull the trigger on photos because I'm still in that honeymoon period of I just recently got a phone and it came with like 2 years of whatever, so I haven't gone beyond the capacity of it, and I'm still within the window, so like I haven't peered around the outside for other solutions yet, but for Music Manage I definitely have, and Navadrome's okay, but I'm trying to look at something else, so I like what I did, but I want to do it better. So. Anyway, those resources are good for stuff like that, and I don't know, the longer I have lived in the cloud, the more I'm starting to think, yeah, I don't particularly mind if people have certain data of mine, as long as it works well, and it's not cost prohibitive, but like some stuff is not starting to work well, and the cost is starting to get a little weird, and I'm like, what else is going to change? So I'm turning that corner.
Well, now I'm getting to the point where I want to get a Blu-ray drive and rip all of my Blu-rays and spin up a Plex server and start dropping streaming services because, hey, I think every streaming service that I have jumps, you know, just jacks their prices like $3 to $4 in the last 2 to 3 months. Spotify included, which is a shame because I really, really like the UI and how Spotify works. They just don't pay their artists enough, and it's getting expensive now. So I don't think there's a self-hosted equivalent for Spotify yet. But whenever there is, oh man, I am jumping on that hype train.
Great. Yeah, go ahead. Thanks, yeah. Hey, BCW. Yeah, listening to you guys, near and dear to my heart here. I'm looking at some of the same things you guys are. I went to a de-Googled phone. I'm running Graphene OS on it. It's fantastic, and you know, finding those alternatives for that has been interesting. Big proponent of the Plex server and having your own media stored locally and backed up. That's the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, NHCN. I agree. I mean, I'm not so hung up on shows and entertainment because, and this is probably unique to me, the only time I sit and watch stuff is with my wife at night, maybe sometimes. Like, I'm doing stuff most of the day, so I don't really sit and watch stuff. What annoys me is, like, we usually pick, like, one or two streaming services to hold on to for a bit. And it's usually for a specific purpose. Like if I want to watch the new season of Star Trek to come out, like I'll do the Paramount thing and stream them. And then what I'm getting tired of is like things hitting the news where media outlets have like declared political ties to parties, and I'm like, just do entertainment, stop being political. And then they can't. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm done. And I've actually like made the decision to stop watching certain things that I used to really like because they come from a source that, you know, is, like, you know, can't stand their own lane of entertainment or whatever. So, like, I'm sorry, I don't really want to subsidize someone's buying of the U.S. political system because all I want to watch is a TV show. Like, I don't need to, yeah, and, like, Drake, you're like, yeah, everybody's raising rates. 90% of the stuff I'm not going to watch. And I hate it when stuff moves around or, like, is available and then it's just not. I'm like, well, what am I paying for, really? And why is it going up? And the return seems to diminish. So, like, I don't know. If I were really fired up about it, I'd probably do the same thing and start, like, just locally archiving things. But, like, I don't know. Most of the stuff I care about, I have in physical format, and if I want to go watch it, I'll open the box of media and find the disc and put it in. But, like, at one point I was just like, what am I being spoon-fed here? And why am I doing that? Why am I allowing that to happen? Why am I... So, definitely gross to an extent. That's why I kind of... I'm ignoring the whole media sphere right now. I'm just focusing... Music's my thing. Focusing on that and backup data. Hope I didn't time it out.
You didn't, actually.
Yeah, same thing here. What did it for me was, you know, I had invested a fair amount of money and storage into the iTunes movies, and when they just, when the movies started disappearing that I had quote-unquote purchased, that was upsetting to me. And then when they started editing out what's considered today in modern pop culture to be objectionable content in classic movies, that was it for me. And now I've got a network of a few friends that I'm expecting to grow a little bit more. They have Plex servers, and we provide access to each other's libraries, and you can dial up a lot of things that way and be entertained if you're so inclined. But, yeah, the whole thing sucks. We have one or two streaming services that will rotate around depending on the content that's available at any given time. But what's really bothering me is the stuff that used to be, or that's still readily available over the air. Now you need a different subscription for particularly sports and, you know, things like the Olympics and stuff like that. It's just getting out of hand, and I'm pretty darn sick and tired of it. Over to you, Drake.
And it struggles a little bit on higher resolution stuff, but it gets by on 1080p. But that's how I'm doing that, and I'm just, I want all of my, everything, the whole series of Star Wars, I want that. I only have the trilogy, and I've got the original trilogy on Blu-ray, but it's not 4K, it's 1080. And I've also got the original trilogy on VHS before they did the CGI, which, of course, that is absolutely crusty to watch on a modern display. I haven't archived that yet. I really, really should, and I got to find a really nice way to do it so it doesn't look all crummy and gross. There's a way to archive analog video in a nice way. I just got to figure it out and do it. And, of course, we've got quite a large DVD collection that I'd like to archive. And my plan is, with the self-hosted thing, is also make it so my family can use it as well, because it'd save a lot of money, because we have like almost every streaming service. And sometimes, really, you're only using that one streaming service for one or two things, and you're just throwing the rest of that money away. And it doesn't really seem worth it. I mean, for TV shows that are new, it's the only way you can, which is, it kind of sucks, but, you know, stuff that's already been out, like movies and stuff, self-hosted is the way to go.
Yeah, Plex is the way, man. I've got a small growing network of a few friends, and we have Plex servers, and we share each other's libraries with each other. Great to dial up something that, might be just outside of your taste, but is of interest to you, and hey, my buddy over there's got it. I'll just watch it. Oh, and beautiful. I don't have to pay extra money for it outside of what I already paid to build my library. And I don't have to sit through stupid ads.
You still on there, Joe? You must have had to duck out. I was rolling into Charlevoix. I switched over. 2.6 was still coming in pretty good, but I switched over to 1.9 just because I can't. But, yeah, Bentley, I think when I get home today, I'm going to get Image going so I can migrate my Google Photos library, because like I said, I'm out of space, and it was a 200 gig plan, and I want to migrate everything from iCloud Photos, because everything's kind of like separated. I've got stuff on iCloud Photos, and I got a bunch of stuff on Google Photos, and I want to just put them all in one spot, and I can't, so that way I don't have to go on a scavenger hunt to find something. And the nice thing about Image is it behaves the same exact way as Google Photos does. You can share things, it doesn't break anything like that. It's got an app that'll synchronize time you come home and you get on your Wi-Fi, or if you got unlimited data, it'll just synchronize right on the spot, but it'll eat your battery. Which is fine. I don't really mind that. But it's kind of neat. And then I got to get another, there's another program that's kind of like an equivalent to Google Drive, but it's also self-hosted that I also want to get going. I forget the name. I think our company was actually considering using that because Google's Drive storage is kind of getting outrageous in cost. You know, I like self-hosting stuff. Both for the privacy factors and just because I don't have to, you know, spend money on a monthly subscription and all that crap. And, you know, if I want to expand my storage, I go buy another hard drive.
Are you seeing my deck now?
Yeah.
Okay, I could hear, but I couldn't transmit. I moved my HD and realized I hadn't had it set up yet. It was funny because you guys doubled and then you lost. But it's kind of funny because we could start hearing you again when you were saying trilogies, and I was like, oh yeah, I got that on VHS. I got the original VHS 3 set, so I'll have to digitize that at some point. But anyway, it was funny because you guys are kind of both saying the same thing, I think. And I think we're all on the same wavelength. That's kind of funny.
Hey, BCW. Yeah, Drake, really interested in hearing about your photos hosting journey because I'm in the exact same situation as you. I got a bunch of stuff in Google Photos, and I'm paying for it just so that I don't lose it. And I got a bunch of stuff in Apple Photos. And at one time, I tried to pull my photos out of Google Photos, and they make it so difficult and laborious that I ended up giving up on it. So if you find a good way to figure that out, I'd sure hope you would share it with me. And then, you know, obviously, I'm going to end up with metric crap ton of duplicates in wherever I migrate it to. So looking for a solution there, too.
See if I've got it. Cool. I think Image will do all of that for you. I did a little bit of reading on it this morning, and I tried to get a Docker container spun up and realized that the Pi that I was trying to install it onto didn't have any space left on its boot drive. So I got to fix that situation. I've got a second Pi that's on my network, and I might just put the Docker container there and then point it towards the, what do you call it? Point it at my NAS for the storage media and go from there. They both have, I think they've both got gigabit, they both have gigabit, so there won't really be a bottleneck there. I'll see how that goes, and Joey, I'll make you an account and make it available on Tailscale so you can kind of play with that UI and whatnot, see how you like it. And I think it even separates per account. You can have it separate your libraries and everything, which is super neat. But don't quote me on that. I gotta do a little bit more investigation. I was just like, how do I install this now? I want to play with it right now.
That's where it starts. I mean, you gotta pull the trigger and see if you like it and see if it's going to do all the, tick all the boxes, which is kind of what I did with that music thing. But, I did the same thing, though. I made the presentation in a Docker container, and then I pointed the storage at my archive server, and that worked pretty good. I've got some permissions things I want to fix before I do it again. And then the front end, I'm not exposing publicly. I've got everything behind Nginx Docker images on another host. So as far as protecting everything, that I could probably even publicly expose it and not be too terrible. But yeah, I actually was playing around last night with integrating WireGuard networks and redistributing to Tailscale. So I'm getting pretty good at that part, too. Anyway, regarding IT, I guess I got to get to my day job. It's about that time. I'm going to join our group chat and see what we got going on today. So I will creepily back into the bushes like home.
I'll be right back.
I'll let you guys carry on. Have a good morning. NACN.
KBCW. Yeah, enjoy learning from you young guys that are on top of this stuff. I'm an older guy, but still clinging on to technology and how to best exploit it for my use case. Couldn't be happier with my Graphene OS phone. I think that's been awesome, and I love the control and the ability to keep my data, you know, within a tighter circle. And I don't mind going out and shopping around for a couple of different apps that do what the bundled suites would do, and I think there's some benefit to keeping those things siloed individually. And I don't mind paying a developer like $20 a year for an app that is going to do what I want and have some privacy and some, you know, rigidity built into it. So that's been my latest attempt at figuring this stuff out, and it's been awesome. But, you know, using Proton Drive and not having a dedicated photo app and having to manually sync pictures from my phone to my iCloud account is kind of a pain. So I think that's kind of the last piece of the puzzle that I'd like to solve.
Sorry, I missed that. I missed a bunch of that. I'm grabbing some cheapy breakfast here real quick at McDonald's, so I didn't get... I got the end.
Yeah, I was just saying, Drake, that I've really enjoyed the Graphene OS phone that I've built up, and that I don't mind paying individual small developers for apps, whether that's, you know, $20 a year or something. I won't do a monthly subscription on them. You know, I'm happy to pay them for their time to build something and host it, so that's all good. But, yeah, the photos piece is kind of a pain. And I'm using Proton Drive, and it's okay. It's got some limitations, but, you know, you don't have to be a slave to the one particular suite of apps and services that are hoarding all of your data and maybe holding it securely or not, or maybe exploiting you with it or not. And then I also enjoy, you know, being platform agnostic. If I want to get a different phone sometime, I can easily do that and not have to worry about whether it's compatible with X, Y, or Z company's services.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. I haven't tried that, you know, I'm still stuck in the whole Apple ecosystem. I've got an Apple Watch and all that stuff, and we have all their devices. It makes it hard to get out, but give me one second, I'll be right back. All right, I have returned, but I am working towards being platform agnostic at this time. I'm phone-wise, I'm stuck, but as far as you know, computers and stuff go, I'm mostly a Linux guy now. But you know, I can use Mac OS, I can use Windows. I'm trying to get a virtual machine with Mac OS in it, but Apple has made that so darn difficult lately that makes you just want to give up. But there's a way to do it. I just got to figure it out. It's not super high on my priority list. I haven't had an Apple device and, you know, bought a new Apple laptop or desktop. I don't think I've ever bought an Apple desktop, but I haven't had an Apple laptop in a long time. I like the hardware. The software's all right, but the way they make really nice hardware, and I wish that they didn't lock down their software so much.
Yeah, it's called the walled garden for a reason. I'm a Mac guy, as I think you know. I like to have a desktop computer with big monitors. Don't have a whole big use case for a laptop. I've run Mac laptops in the past, and, you know, they didn't last very long. They overheated, didn't really care for them all that much. I love the operating system. I think it's fantastic. I'm fully entrenched in it. I like the Mac Mini is what I run on my desktop, and that's that's phenomenal in my opinion. It's affordable, it's powerful, and does everything that I need. But that being said, you know, they do make it hard to walk away. And when I tried to remove my phone number from iMessage, followed all their instructions on their website, and for about a month I still wasn't getting text messages through, you know, SMS channels on my new phone. And that didn't allow me to set up RCS on the new phone and all of that stuff. So it was a real pain. I suspect they do that on purpose to make it harder to leave. K8BCW.
Oh, without a doubt, that's probably what they're trying to do. They just don't want you to leave. Apple made a new budget laptop, actually, MacBook Neo. It's not, it doesn't have the M1 processor or anything like that. I think it's got the same processor out of the iPhone 17. The A18 Pro, I think. And it's proving to be a solid little workhorse, from what I've read. Of course, the only issue is you are stuck in their OS. You can't really, I don't know if you can do Linux on those yet. Because it's an ARM-based CPU, it's not, you know, it's not Intel anymore. So, boot camp isn't really a thing. Virtual machines are, but you're losing a lot of performance when you're emulating an x86 processor. It's kind of a mess on ARM, but... as far as the MacBook Neo, it looks like a pretty solid machine. I'm surprised that they made a new name, though. I would have just continued the MacBook name and just reduced the price. Because they had the MacBook back from, like, 2007 until 2010? Either 2009 or 2010. Then they discontinued it for, like, 5 years, maybe a little longer than that. Then they started it up again with the single port MacBook, that one USB-C before USB-C was really kind of wide or mainstream. And then they cut it off again in like 2018 or 2019, and the name's just kind of dead still. But I will never understand their naming schemes. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but you know, companies. They like to do things that make sense to them, but not things that make sense to everybody else.
No, dude, the answer is simple. It's to make their fanboys feel better. They're almost like a cult.
I've never really understood the cult following. I mean, yes, nice hardware, I like the software, the integration with their phones is fantastic. I love that, that's awesome. But... like, now that I'm on Linux, I've got KDE Connect, and I've got, I can connect my Android phone, I can connect my iPhone. Windows has PhoneLink, but to be honest with you, PhoneLink on Windows is a big pile of garbage. Get Bluetooth, right, and then you can take phone calls over your computer. But whenever you're within range, like, even if you haven't been actively using your computer within the past 5-10 minutes, like, there's no presence detection. It just takes the call on your computer, even if you answer it from your phone. And that drove me nuts, because people would be like, I can't hear you. And I'm like, oh yeah, because my stupid computer took over. KDE Connect doesn't really have that issue. I had to do some weird workarounds to make it work because it doesn't natively support phone calling and stuff yet. But I made it kind of sort of work. You can just connect to your phone straight to the computer and you can take phone calls through it. It just uses your headphone and whatnot. And it gives you a notification when somebody calls. You just click answer. It'll choose that Bluetooth device, and then when you answer on your phone, it switches it straight to your phone. And I like that. I like having little integrations like that, but not also being stuck to a certain brand or software. So we're getting closer, especially in the open source world.
WAVPC.
You're pulling people out of the woodwork today.
Yeah, good morning. I've been listening for a little bit. Really good conversation here. As far as Apple, Louis Black, the comedian, and part of his one of his shows, he talks about Apple. He had a problem with his iPhone, lives in New York. He went down to the Apple store, and then he says, those people are not from this world.
K8BCW. Yeah, I don't really care much for Louis Black, but that's an accurate statement. I have only darkened the door of an Apple store once or twice, and don't ever need to go back to one.
I would agree with that. Another thing is, if you go to the Apple store or consult Apple for any support at all, like, say you got a broken display, or heck, you've got, you know, a bad battery or something, or like a bad button, your power button doesn't work. What's their solution? We're just going to replace your phone. I'm like, cool. So that's a big chunk of e-waste right there, bro. What are you going to do with that old phone? Are you going to recycle it and, you know, reuse all those parts, or are you just going to chuck it into a landfill and hopefully recycle that lithium battery, you know, the right way, properly? And that's another thing. Like, all these companies are just, like, turning all of their products and, you know, making them disposable, and that's a really big problem because, well, e-waste is also a really big problem. We can't just start throwing electronics into landfills because, you know, there's so many of them, they're everywhere. We got to be able to recycle stuff, you know, dismantle everything and use it for something else. And stuff like that. You know, there's little repair shops that, you know, can actually repair phones. Like, they'll do board repair. Apple doesn't do that. They're just like, well, you got a bad board or something. We're not going to fix it that way. We're just going to, you know, toss this one out. You may or may not keep your data, but here's a new device. Take that.
Yeah, I ran into that.
Yeah, all while pushing you to use their power saving settings on the device that reduces the performance of the device during times of traditional times of peak power usage. Based on their algorithm of living in a big
also the lightning connector, the charge
huge population, and time of day, power rates, and things like that. But you know what it comes down to, Drake, is it's a financial decision. Do we pay our highly compensated employees to spend their time fixing something, or is it just cheaper?
I step on somebody.
Hey, MGL. It was a perfect fit between the two of you. Drake, everything's getting pitched and nothing's getting reused or fixed. We got to change that. And hey, MGL.
Yeah, I thought they took those and in order they ground them up and grab all the metals out of them.
Wait till you find out what they do with carbon fiber wind turbine blades when the useful life has passed on them.
Sorry, I had a quick phone call. What did I miss? Also, I think you guys doubled, and it was the most epic double of doubles I've ever heard.
It was so epic, my battery died right in the middle of it.
Oh, now that's pretty epic. Oh, man. But I like this. This is an awesome conversation, guys. I'm sorry to drag things sideways a little bit, but this is... I like this. This is the thing that I like about ham radio is that we all have minds that think alike, and we all like doing projects together. It's kind of fun. And I think that's a kind of a way that we can even drag more people into it. It's like, hey, it's not about just talking on the radio. It's about, you know, meeting other people that have the same kind of interests that you have, and you guys can teamwork on stuff or, you know, share ideas. Like, this is awesome. Stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm getting kind of close to my my destination, so I'm going to probably jump out here. But, Bentley, I will share my experience with Image, and if it ends up working, I'll even put you on my tail scale, and you can kind of see how it works for yourself, and if you end up liking it, I can point you towards the guide that I use for spinning up my own Image instance, and you can get your ball rolling on that program.
Yeah, thanks for that, Drake. Appreciate it. I should probably jump too and get some work done today. Also, the other guys that were chiming in, don't know who you are. Good to meet you, though, and happy to hear your opinions on the subject. It's been a banger this morning. KBCW is clear.
His name here is Michael N8MJO.
Yeah, that's another thing we hams like to do is we all check out at the same time. I got to get out. I got to jump out and take Mom up to the grocery store. We'll talk to you guys later, WAVPC.
Sir, KSBW Mobile.
Hello. Wow, what a nice day. Tyler says it's 71 degrees. I don't know if I believe that, but it could be. I'm just getting on the freeway here at the 301.
All right. Well, I'm just going under it from 30.
How are you?
Perfect double. Okay on the 313. Other stations.
Okay, DCW.
Hello, Bentley. Bentley in Canada. I think you have gonna say I you might have met at the meeting.
You were
running
out a lot.
I'm not getting in.
We got it.
Static.
Morning, Bentley.
About every third or fourth.
Here, Shannon.
Said there's somebody else named.
I'm located around the house.
This is Bentley K8BCW.
You guys are timing it perfectly. I don't think either of you heard either of you. So anyway, Bentley, a friend from downstate. Garden City Transplant, known each other for, and I'm currently living in Tappan Zee, about 4 miles north of me. Shannon Bentley is a relatively new ham with a van we call. I believe. Pretty young guy compared to us, and him and Dan know each other from the North Country Trail Group. So, Shannon, go ahead.
Alrighty. Good to know you, Bentley. It's a beautiful day out here. 52 degrees coming into Indian River. We should be able to knock this out pretty quick, Ron. I brought a 20 feet, an inch and a half rigid PVC that we could use as discharge also. So we got lots of choices. All depends on what that pump, what kind of connections we got on it. Okay, that's what we have in the group. Bentley?
Hello, Shannon. Thanks for the handoff there. Sorry to step over you earlier. Do you have to make a couple of minor corrections to my introduction that Ron provided? I am not yet retired. I'm still working for the man. And he forgot to say, and all-around good guy. Over to you, Ron.
You know, that's just assumed with everybody I talk to. I don't hang around idiots, so... Although... Sure, there are some examples to the contrary, including a couple of the opposite sex. But anyway, I thought you pulled the plug already. Are you 100% work from home guy?
Work from home, work from the road. So yeah, my job is to take care of our largest customers, and they're all over the state. So. I do get out and I ply the roadways of the Upper Peninsula, Northern Michigan, Central Michigan, and Southeast Michigan from time to time, and do business with them face-to-face, and shepherd projects that might be going on with them, and convince them to do things that are beneficial to both my company and theirs. But, yeah, 36 years. My anniversary date is May 20th, so that'll be interesting. And I'm only 57 years old, so I don't know. We'll see what happens here.
Well, Bentley, I retired from Ford Motor Research Center 19 years ago. I find that so amazing. Then I retired from Homeland Security 3-4 years ago, supposedly, but they keep calling me. Ron, I'm going over the bridge.
Okay, I'm just a couple exits away, so. Well, Bentley, you learn something new every day. I was operating under a misconception, so thank you for correcting that. I'll tell you, they didn't rebuild this pump, Shannon. I got a brand new motor, and I about had a heart attack when I saw the bill, but then when you look at the replacement cost for that pump today, it's less than 50% of that, so, okay, and it's got another life after it serves this purpose, so I think the slowest process is going to just be changing the plug to the three-prong locking RV plug to fit the genset, but anyway, yeah, I expect to be pouring water on the lawn very quickly. So Bentley, I hope we got your all-star whistle wet yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. Some good guidance there. I actually ended up buying another Raspberry Pi 4 Bravo last night, and it's on its way. And I went to that Kits for Hams, and I've got an order in with him for one of his ready-made modules. I don't have very much experience at soldering very tiny little things, so I'm just going to have him build one up for me so I can plug it in and I can do the programming and all that fun stuff, and we'll see how it works. By the way, Ron, I'm wishing you well with your water situation. Sounds like you've got some help enlisted there, and I hope it goes well today and you can get things dried out and get back into your home. Kate, BCW.
Well, Ron, the water hasn't gone down. The closest I can get is 15 feet from your mailbox. The base of the tree with the dog sign on it, I can see grass. So the car back here, it looks like it's about 5 or 6 inches below the bottom of the bumper. You can see all the rim on the front tire on the vehicle.
No, that's pretty good progress. The pot that the mailbox sits in, how high up the pot?
Don't know how deep the pot goes, but I can see the vertical ribs, about 5 or 6 inches of the vertical ribs on the bottom.
That pot is sitting on the ground. It's not dug in at all. It's absolutely, it's totally sitting on the surface.
All right. Well, I can see part of the base. It looks like that's a reflection. All right, I'm going to get out and walk around.
Okay. Well, I don't want to see you in a minute. I'm at the 307, so... So, yeah, there's not a lot of, and I don't, Bentley, I don't fault you for doing it that way. That's how Orion did his first one as well, and that there's something to be said for that. It's all you really got to do is program up the card. You know, you need a micro SD for the Pi, and you just got to put asterisk on that and go from there. So, well, the amount of daytime deer I'm seeing today is crazy, even here on the side of the freeway. Have you gone and requested a node number yet? Go to allstarlink.org and put in a request for a server node.
I already had an AllStarLink account so that I could get into AllStar on the DV mobile app on my phone, which I played around with a little bit. And I was poking around for getting my node number assigned, but I think I have to specify an IP address to do that. They were asking for that in the form, so can't do that until I have the machine here and on my network. So I think I'm going to have to just be patient on that one, unless there's another pathway that I'm missing somewhere.
I think you were in the wrong place. Like I said, you need to just go register, request a server node. I think that's what they call it, server node, server number, whatever. It's going to be 7 digits now. You know, the older ones were 6, but they ran out. So you're going to, you know, it's going to be a 1 and 6 digits. Not, maybe now even a 2 and 6 digits. I don't know. But, and I wasn't aware that you were using the software, so that means you are already a registered user and you sent them your license or whatever else you had to do. So, all right, very good. Well, I will let you run. My destination is fast approaching. You know, the goal is to just get all the water out of the crawl, get the pressure tank and the pressure switch in dry air, let it all air out for a day or so before powering it back up. And go from there. Maybe with luck, we'll be home Sunday or so. Don't want to stay there without water. I mean, we could, but I just don't want to because I have another option. So, all right, we'll catch up with you down the page. KC8BCW. I think I have that down. It was eluding me for a minute, but now I think I got it figured out. So. Talk to you later. W-A-R-P-O.
Yeah, good luck, Ron. I hope everything goes smoothly when you get back in your house and it's not too messy in the process. And you're getting closer on the new call. It's K8BCW. Have a great day.
Oh, what did I say? N or W or something? Okay. Yep, got it. K8BCW. You know, you change call signs. I got friends that... you know, our extras that had their call for whether a 1x3 or a 2x3 had it for literally decades, and then whether through, you know, just because they upgraded or vanity or whatever and they ended up with a 1x2 or a 2x1 or, you know, and it takes years to figure that all out. All right, see ya.
W8R.
ABNN mobile monitoring. Station calling, you're not making the repeater.
station trying. You are too close to a power source. It's drowning you out. KCPSU.
KAPCW.
Well, Bentley, how's it going up there? Nice out. Like, it says 80 degrees. I can't believe it.
Yet I still have patches of snow in my yard and put my screens in my windows this afternoon.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'm stoked about the weather, so. Anyway. Fun stuff. Well, tonight I'm probably going to work more on that image thing and get that going. And, see how that goes. And then see what other self-hosted things I can get going. Or I guess what all I can run on a Pi 4. I got to get another box that's got a little bit more horsepower to do Plex because you got video transcoding to worry about.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear more about that whole imaging hosting thing. I tried to do a search on that, but when you do image, photo, app, everything but what you're looking for comes up. And as far as the Plex server, I'm running my Mac Mini 24/7/365, and that's connected up to, you know, a backup drive that has all my movies ripped down on it. And if you get that set up, I'd be happy to grant you access to my libraries if you're interested in Clint Eastwood westerns, John Wayne war movies, and a whole bunch of sci-fi stuff.
I won't say no to that. Sci-fi sounds good. But and likewise, when I get all my stuff imported anyway. But it's IMMICH, image, not image. It sounds similar to image, but indeed it is not.
So, like, Spamage.
You got it.
All right, I'll check it out, man. I'll shoot you an invite to my Plex library using the, I think it's an iCloud email address I have for you. And all you need to do is just follow the link, and after you've got your own Plex account set up, and you will have access to my libraries to stream.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I'll let you know and whatnot. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it works. Image requires Linux, I'm pretty sure. So you'll have to get like a Raspberry Pi or something in order to do it. But I'm also curious to see how it runs on a Pi 4. If I need to get a Pi 5, then I might have to spring for that, or just set up a bigger Docker box, I guess. Because right now I've just got a couple Pi 4s that I run everything on, and I know they're not the fastest thing in the world, but they're capable little boards.
Damn, I just bought a Pi 4 Bravo for an All-Star node.
That'll work fine for that. Heck, you could probably even do that with a Pi 3.
I've got a Pi 3 for my hotspot that I built, and it tends to run a little bit hot. Doesn't have a fan on it with the case that I bought for it. So I thought I'd try something a little bit more powerful. I think this might have like 2 gigabytes of RAM, or is it 4? I can't remember. But yeah, should be fine for an All-Star node.
Yeah, I would say so. That'll work just fine. Yeah, you might want to make sure you put some heat sinks on it, because the Pi 4s run a little warmer than the Pi 3s.
Yeah, for that one I did buy a case that has aluminum heat sinks with a cooling fan, so that should work just fine.
Oh, look at that. You're already thinking about that. There you go. That's then you're fine. So, anyway. Anyway, Bentley, I'm just getting into Acme here, and traffic is trafficking, and I'm going to try to navigate it. So, we'll catch you later. EMH Mobile.
Yeah, good luck with that, man. I'll talk to you later. Have a great weekend. K8BCW.
Whiskey 8 Golf, Mike, Juliet, QRT.
D-A-T.
K-8-B-C-W, how you doing, Chris?
K-8-B-C-W, K-8-D-A-T. Oh, pretty well. Yourself, Bentley?
Doing well, man. I was wondering if you were still alive. Haven't talked or heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I've been kind of under the weather for the past week or so, and about 10 days or whatnot, and just kind of, I turned the phone off and everything else and just relaxed and unplugged for a little bit, and it seemed to help quite a bit.
Yeah, a good unplug is healthy from time to time. Hope you're doing well, man.
Yep, no complaints. How about yourself?
Hey, doing better than a lot of people. Managed to keep all the water out of my basement, whereas some of my neighbors around me are not so lucky. And, of course, other folks that are having worse problems than that. So pretty fortunate, counting my lucky stars at this point.
Yep, I'm right there with you, brother. It definitely could have been way worse than it was, but there's a lot of people that are in pretty bad shape right now, and you know, it's rough being up here because I mean nobody's got flood insurance or anything. Typically, don't even think about needing it, but if somebody would have had some, it'd be nice right about now for them.
Yeah, exactly. Earlier this week, I was helping one of my neighbors clear some stuff out of her basement. She had several inches of water in it. You know, half of it's finished, half of it's unfinished. Just a real mess. And sure enough, she found out that it's not covered because she doesn't have flood insurance, so she's dealing with it all on her own. And she's already had a lot going on in her life, and this is like the last thing that she needs on top of it all. So just hoping that she's going to pull through it okay and get it figured out. And knowing that there's a lot of other people just like her that are dealing with it. So, you know, it is what it is, but I guess I dodged a bullet this time.
Yeah, it's this is one of the times I'm thankful to live on top of a hill. You got to deal with some snow every now and then, but it's better than the alternative. And like you say, I feel for people that have to go through that, because that's just, you know, snow will go away and you can move it, but water, you just, man, you're just at the mercy of it.
Well, we're actually up on a hill as well, and the issue is we've got a lot of natural springs around here, and when the water gets saturated, they just flow harder and harder and harder. I've got a new one in my backyard right now that just has not stopped. And I suspect my neighbor just down the hill from me, with all that hydraulic pressure of everything going downhill, probably has a spring that's never flowed before,
right next to her foundation, and as fast as she can get the water down her drain and through the sump pump, it's coming back in. So I don't know what she's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the short term, I don't know if there really is anything you can do other than, you know, you just kind of got to wait and then manage it best you can and wait for it to dry up and then look at some fixes beyond that.
Yeah, in 20-plus years of being here, we've never had a situation like this. So, you know, do you make the investment to dig down your foundation and put new drainage around it that arguably could have been there when you first built the place? I don't know. It's one of those things, but the weather's getting weirder and weirder, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like last spring with the ice storm. You know, everybody just kind of had that mindset of, well, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing and blah, blah, blah. And no, it wasn't anywhere near the extent of last spring, but, you know, we got quite a bit of ice this spring in that one little storm. It wasn't anywhere near as long. It was a protracted event like it was last year, but, you know, still happened. And I think that stuff is just going to get more and more frequent, unfortunately.
Well, I look at each one of these events as an opportunity to be better prepared for the next one, right? And, you know, can you think about the next possible event that might happen? Probably not, but, you know, what you learned from the last couple, would that make you better prepared and better able to deal with it? I think so. And, you know, execute the appropriate level of preparedness that you feel comfortable with and what you're able to afford, and let the chips fall where they may the next time around, I guess, and just be better for it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, who would have thought that we should be worried about a flooding situation up here, you know? But, you know, we're, after last spring, you know, we're prepared for the ice and whatnot, and you're always kind of prepared for the snow living up here. But, you know, what's next? Do you look at hardening your place against a potential wildfire, maybe, you know? That's, nobody likes to think about those things, but sometimes it's better to think about them now when you have a clear head.
Yeah, for sure, man. Prepare for the worst, expect the best, and go from there. I'm sorry, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Yeah, what's going to be next? It's anybody's guess at this point.
Yeah, but, and I think a lot of people are, you know, taking the cues, like you said, you know, learning from, okay, what could I have done a little bit different to prepare for this, blah, 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 and I think people are really starting to do that. You had a whole bunch that did it after last spring, and this spring I think it just is adding more and more to that book, which is a good thing, inevitably.
Well, there's a mindset amongst people around here that, you know, you be self-sufficient to a reasonable extent, and then when you can't be, you help, you know, you get help from other people, and then you offer it up, and that's pretty cool to see. So it's nice to be able to have that mindset, but also nice to know that you've got some friends and neighbors that are available to jump in when your capacity is exceeded.
Yeah, for sure, and we all hit that wall where our capacity is exceeded too eventually. So, yep, it is really nice to see the helping hand come out when things get bad like that. It's in this day and age you don't necessarily expect that, but we live in a pretty good area.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that that's not the norm, right? And then every once in a while, you run into some people who are from somewhere else where that's obviously not the case, and you see how they conduct themselves and what they do, and it's a pretty stark difference, and it doesn't take much to notice it.
Yeah, that's exactly correct, and I think it's interesting, like you say, when there's people from other areas up here, when something like that happens, and they see how we react to it and help one another out, hopefully they can take that back to where they're from and try and implement some of that and help their neighbors out, too. That would be a win all the way around, I think.
Yeah, you like to think kindness is contagious, right?
Boy, I sure hope so.
Yeah, the universal rule, don't be a dick.
I do struggle with that sometimes, though, I'm not going to lie.
You and me both, brother, but, you know, there's a difference between stupid and helpless.
That's like the difference between being educated and smart.
Just when I think I got a good one on you, you come back with one better. Nicely done.
So how's the DMR world working for you? You getting that all hammered out?
Yeah, I've kind of given it a rest this week. Ryan got himself a radio, and I built up a code plug for him and sent it over to him. But he probably went off on a two-week vacation, so he's not been available to do any testing with any of the new equipment. So I'm just back to the old analog stuff. But I do have another little project that I'm working on right now. I bought another little Raspberry Pi, and I bought a an All-Star Node radio hat to go on it, and I'm going to make an All-Star Node for my setup here. So that ought to be pretty cool. And what that actually allows you to do is any analog repeater in the country, or in the world for that matter, that's tied into the All-Star network, you can connect to it anywhere with your node, kind of like a hotspot. And that includes our local W8CCE repeater network here. So it's just another little capability. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be a good arrow to have in the quiver for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And it's cheap and it's fun. It's like it's another little tinkering hobby. So, but yeah, other than that, you know, getting a couple of projects done around the house, getting the tires changed out on the vehicles, and getting ready for the next season after this crappy one is over.
Yeah, if we had a run of like I don't know, a month and a half of days like today, that would be that'd be okay with me. I wouldn't balk on that a whole lot.
Yeah, I was out on my deck tonight shoveling giant chunks of ice off to the other side of the deck where they might get a little bit more sun and melt a little bit faster. But have no fear, it's only going to be 37 degrees as a high on Sunday, so it ain't done yet.
Yeah, unfortunately. I'm kind of surprised. We our deck is all cleared off already. It's I'm ready to put the grill out there damn near.
Oh, awesome, man. No, I had several feet of snow on my deck. Some of it from, you know, roof raking the eaves down. And also, you know, the portion where all of that snow builds up is in the shade of the house. It's on the north side. So I had to give it a little bit of persuasion tonight.
Yeah, that probably helps me out. My deck is right facing east, so it has good sun till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it does tend to go pretty quick.
Hey, I caught up with Josh early this morning while he was on his commute into the shop. I hadn't talked to him in a while either. He said he was going to try to rattle your cage today. Did you get in touch with each other?
Yep, actually we just got done right before I started talking to you. Talked with him for a little bit. It's something you might be interested in, if you have a pencil and paper handy.
Dell has his 2-meter repeater up and working again. And it's on the Stutzmanville Tower there.
Is that the WBDEL? I think I have that programmed in my radio already.
Yep, the WB8DEL. Yep, that's the one. I tried it here the other day, and I got a signal back on it. I've been trying it for a while, so I knew he was trying to work on it, and I figured with maybe some of the good weather, he had a guy up there, and obviously he had. So, but it works pretty good. I can get Josh real well on it, so it might be just another capability.
Oh, right on. That's great. Yeah, I thought that was in Sheboygan. So that's a did he move it from his Sheboygan tower up to Stutzmanville?
Yeah, his tower he had that was up by Seashell City, which is where that the 2-meter repeater was and where the GMRS repeater used to be. He sold that tower, and whoever bought it told him he couldn't have his antenna up there, so he had to move that repeater over. But, yeah, he doesn't own that tower anymore.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, I'll monitor that one now that I know that it's back up and running. That's great. I heard that he had been doing some work on his tower there at Stutzmanville, doing some guideline work and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's good that he's getting some more capability up there. And I know the group involved in this repeater network is talking to him as well about other opportunities. So hopefully that all works out.
Yeah, because I'm sure he's got room on that tower for a bunch more, and that would be a pretty good tower for them to have. I don't know if they have one in that area. I know they have one up in Mackinac, I believe, don't they?
Yeah, I'm not clear on what's going on with the Mackinac site. I believe that was actually on the Coast Guard cutter up there, but they also have the Hackleberg Road site and obviously Cross Road, so I don't know what their plans are with Stutzmanville. I think they had been up there before, but they moved over to Cross Road, so I know there's always something going on where they're trying to get extra capability and expand services, which I think is awesome. And I'm glad that there's some opportunities out there for that.
Yeah, and I think, Drake and Adam, you mix Dell into that mix, and holy cow, what a brain trust you have there of knowledge.
Well, if anybody can make it happen, it'll be that brain trust. So, we'll see what happens there. Well, hey, brother, I'm going to get back to the movie that Christy and I were watching. I heard you there, and I wanted to jump in and say hello since it's been a while. I'll be around the rest of the weekend. You're back on the air, so listen up for me, and I'll do the same on this side. K8BCW.
All right, my friend. Have a great rest of your evening, and we'll be talking to you this weekend, I'm sure. K8CAT.
K-E-8-F-J-W, K-8-D-Y-S. Ryan and Harrison, are you still? Bye.
Oh, good evening, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just sitting here relaxing right at the moment. And I heard you come in, and I wanted to say howdy, howdy. Are you headed off to work?
Oh, I am actually on.
Oh, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. Must be in a bad spot.
down. I was just walked inside one of the buildings here. On that was.
Oh, right on, right on, right. Yeah, I just wanted to say howdy. Haven't heard you in a while, so it's been a few weeks since I heard you, since we were getting all that snow. little change in the weather we got here. It's kind of nice.
Oh, hey, that's for sure. Well, no more snow. We're getting plenty of sunshine, so we're definitely enjoying the sunshine. And looks like you're going to have some rain coming in tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
Yep, more rain, and yeah, it was beautiful today. I was up at M68 there, and it was beautiful, and then I got home, and it was beautiful here. I rode my motorcycle today, my dirt bike, got out and ripped around a little bit. That was fun, so that's what we've been doing, working and trying to have a little bit of fun on the side. And finally nice to get the bike out and get out and get ripping on it. I changed the oil on it, and boy, that thing runs good. It's a 2024 Kawasaki 300. It's the KLX 300, so pretty nice little bike. It's not a high performance, but it's fun. It's definitely fun. It'll hurt you. You know, you got to be careful, but definitely fun.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, we got up to 60 degrees here, so it was a good day. I spent most of the afternoon outside with the youngest girl of mine, so. Oh, got, you know, pushed her in the swing, splashed in the puddles, and playing the band, so. It was a good afternoon, that's for sure.
Well, good, yeah. Yeah, we were, softball started, so we're doing that. And yeah, it's nice to get outside. It was 74 here today. 74, the highest we got. And then the clouds rolled in. It's pretty cloudy right now. Looks like we might get some rain tonight, too.
Yeah, I was looking at the radar before and just asking him how you fit. Oh, definitely got a big rain coming. All the high pressure, all the winds going straight towards it too, so, or I should say low pressure. So I read on the radar to be, as the rain goes through, and I don't know, it's normal, it's from the west. But yeah, hey, thanks for coming in here, and I'm going to have to let you go.
Okay, well, good hearing you. And you have a good night at work, and we'll catch you when we get you. I will, I'll listen out for you, and I'll holler back when I hear you. KEAFJWKDYS. Have a good night.
Hey, sounds good.
Said, Chris shrugged. You're welcome to go through all his conversations line by line, counselor.
Thank you.